Doom do 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 do. Hiya, plant friends! Welcome to episode 16 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant people. I'm so sad to see the final episode of Friendship February already be here. This month has just flown by, but I'm so excited that if it has to end, we are going out in style with the second part of our Houseplant Club series with Erin, the second half of our dynamic Houseplant Club duo, and the mind behind the popular blog and Instagram account, Clever Bloom. Before we dive into the episode, I just have one announcement, and that is regarding the Friendship February giveaway that I mentioned in last week's episode. It is now officially up and running and open and ready for you to enter, and it is chock full of such amazing prizes. I truly kind of wish I could just enter it for myself. The winner is going to get a $50 gift certificate to the SIL, their very own Pilea peperomioides plant, and Pilea baby friendship kit from Peep from our episode on Pilea. They're also going to get their own aspect plant lamp from Soltech Solutions that was mentioned in the Grow Lamp episode. And I also have one that I use on Limey, my lime tree. They're getting the most adorable plant lady necklace from the jeweler Avrocomi. And I'm also going to throw in a Bloom and Grow Radio pop socket, which is, if you don't know what a pop socket is, it's those cool things you're seeing on everyone's phones these days that pop out and help you hold your phone more securely to set you up for success for snapping all your planty photos. Friends, it is over $350 worth of prizes, all organized in a pretty little bow for you. The instructions on how to enter are over on my Instagram account at Bloom and Grow Radio or on my website at www.bloomandgrowradio.com/giveaway. Okay, back to today's episode. So, in addition to running cleverbloom.com, houseplant club, and working for a Pinterest management company, Erin is also the mom of two young, adorable boys and plant mom to a growing collection of plants she's curated over 20 years. Cleverbloom.com is her blog dedicated to houseplant-related care, DIYs, and decor. She is awesome blog posts ranging from gift guides for plant people to how to ship plant cuttings and her top picks for stylish planty interiors. She also hosts and teaches plant mounting classes in her local area in Portland, Oregon. We are so lucky to have her on the show today to give us a step-by-step guide to mounting our own epiphytes. For those of you that don't know, epiphytes are just plants that grow on or around other plants or objects. And if you didn't know, don't feel bad because I had to Google it before my interview with Erin. I'm just blooming and growing with my Google all day long. But let's be real, mounted plants are really in right now in the styling world as I'm seeing them all over magazines and people's social media pages. And they really do look so cool and are a really interesting, fun, and different way to display a plant besides just potting it up. And we're so lucky to have Erin, an expert, to teach us. So enjoy and keep me posted on what you end up mounting for yourselves. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria NutriGreens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily NutriGreens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hi, Erin. Welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you and Morgan from Planting Pink as part of my friendship series. This is so cool.
I know. I'm so excited.
So first off, you are the founder of CleverBloom.com, the blog and Instagram account, right?
That's correct.
And also the co-founder of Houseplant Club with Morgan.
Yes, ma'am.
So cool. So Morgan kind of gave us her side of your friendship story about how you guys connected via Instagram and started this business. But I'd love to hear kind of how finding Morgan and starting Houseplant Club kind of affected you and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so the Clever Bloom Instagram account sort of started from the blog. I had started the blog originally as sort of like a crafty DIY blog. And I would post new blog posts on the Instagram account. And at the time, they weren't really plant related. They were just like home decor things. And I realized that when I would share my photos, the ones that had plants that I had styled with plants always got so much better of a response than just the actual DIY itself.
Interesting.
So then I started going, huh. And, you know, I had been collecting plants for, 20 plus years. And I thought, well, this is interesting. So I tested a couple things out. I would post new blog posts, whether it be like a DIY wall hanging or whatever. And I noticed that I would post a picture of it and, you know, I would maybe get a few hundred likes. But if I added a couple plants in to style the picture with, it would like double in likes. And so I out of that, I just sort of realized that the plants is what people liked. And so my blog turned into, it sort of formed into a DIY blog focused on houseplants and decor and things like that. So I, like everyone else on Instagram, I started following other plant accounts. And back then, I feel like there weren't nearly as many. But I found Morgan. And at the time, she wasn't planting pink. I forget what her first name was, but she wasn't even planting pink at the time. But I started following her and, you know, we sort of would comment on each other's pictures and stuff. And one day I saw that she had posted a picture of her Pilea peperomioids. And I saw it, and I had seen it on Pinterest before, pictures of them, and I thought, I need that plant, you know. And so she had posted this picture, and I think I commented on it, and I was trying to be cool about it, but really, I just wanted to be like, can I have your plant?
Could you give me your plant? Right.
Yeah, I was really trying to play it cool. And so I think I was like sort of trying to like smooth talk her, you know, and I was like, hey, I love your account. And, you know, I started out slow and she's like, thanks. And then, a couple days later, I was like, wow, I love this plant. It's so pretty. And she's like, yeah, you know, and she told me how she got it. And then I think I waited a few more days. And so I slowly warmed up to her and, she had said, you know, well, I have a plant who, you know, produces these babies or these offshoots. And she said, I have a couple of them. Would you want one? Well, I had been on the search for one for probably over a year.
Right. They're tricky to find.
Yeah. And I just like, you know, my heart started pounding and I was like, I just wanted to cry because there's this plant that I'd wanted for so long. And I was like, are you serious? And she's like, sure. And so she ended up sending me one. And that's kind of how it all began.
It really is the friendship plant. Damn.
It really is. And, you know, since then, now we both have multiples. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, people have, you know, said, oh, can I buy one from you? Can I buy one? And I really go back to the beginning when Morgan just gave me one because she knew it was something that I wanted and she didn't even know me, you know? So for me, it's kind of hard to say, oh yeah, let me sell you one because I really love the idea of what the backstory of the plant. And so I really just, you know, when I have them available, I love to give them to people who I know who, you know, would appreciate them. So
I love that. That's so beautiful. Spreading the love.
Yes.
And like
spreading the love.
Thinking about like, you know, when you get a plant from a nursery, like that plant has already had a life already, you know?
And yes.
When you get a plant, when you inherit a plant from someone or someone gives you one of their cuttings, like you're like a second generation and then you give your Pileas to people and that's third generation. And then you just think about all the love that's gone into the care for this plant and how you're kind of spreading that around. I just love it.
Yes. And I mean, it happens with a lot of, you know, different kinds of plants, but it's the same thing. Like even just in this Instagram community, like I can connect like four different people to, you know, this one particular plant that my friend owns. And then there's like four of us who own like cuttings from the plant. And so it's just really cool to be connected like that. So
totally. And also going along with our Friendship February and, you know, the friends that you make online, you were also saying that you've actually had a couple of different people who have been on Bloom and Grow Radio who you've met via the internet and they've actually come visited you, right?
Yeah. Well, I had, let's see, Olina came out to Portland and she came just about a year ago. And it was funny. She came out here for just a long weekend, and the weekend she came out here was like we had the most snow we've ever had in, I think they said 20 years or something. And so she comes out, and we were supposed to pick her up and take her around, and my husband's like, we can't drive out there to pick her up. Like, we're going to die.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, no, we can't. We have to. And so we drove out in, like, a foot of snow to go pick them up, and we picked them up, and we went to Portland Nursery and had so much fun. It was just really cool to meet, you know, someone who you had been following for so long, you know, on Instagram. And then Summer Rain came out. She was actually promoting her book out here. She was going to be on a local TV station. And so I picked her up and we had lunch and we went plant shopping and then I took her to the airport. And so, yeah, it's just really cool to meet new people and people who you feel like you already know because
I know
you've been following them for so many years. And I mean, they're not the only ones that I've met, but I mean, it's just amazing to meet these people who you feel like you already know, you know, they're already a part of your life. So
totally. Especially when you think about it, if people are posting every day, you're like being invited into their lives every day.
Yeah.
You know, more so than like, I don't talk to most of my friends every day, you know? So like,
it's true.
That's also it's true. An interesting thing to think about.
I actually, there's a guy, Tyler, who is your local plant boy. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's just like the sweetest. He flew out here a couple weeks ago. And I mean, you know, I had to tell him, I said, you are exactly what I thought you would be. I mean, just the sweetest, like plant loving and, coffee loving, guy who just wanted to meet people in the plant community. And it was just so cool that he, you know, flew out here just for a week to do just that. So
friendship. I love it. So, okay, let's go back to Clever Bloom, the name. Where did you come up with that?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. So my grandmother, when I was growing up, when I was really little, I don't know if this is like an old person thing, mm-hmm. but instead of saying like, oh, you're so cute or you're so sweet or, you know what, she would say, oh, you're so clever. Mm. And I don't know. I think that's like, I don't know if that means like sneaky. My mom says it's because she thought I was sneaky. clever like a fox, I guess.
Right.
So I just always remember my grandmother referring to me as clever. You're so clever. And so that's kind of where that came from. And the bloom part is just when I started the blog, my whole objective was to really show people, and no matter what you do, whether you're caring for plants or whether you're, you know, doing DIY projects or you know, decorating your house, like just to really see the beauty in everything. You don't have to have thousands of plants. You could have one plant and really just see the beauty in that plant and put it in the perfect place in your home and have it make you happy. So I just sort of was writing a bunch of words down and clever was on there, and I was trying to find different words for beauty, mm-hmm. and I think I put it in some weird word jumble finder on Google, and bloom was one of the words that came up that means beauty, and so I snagged that word and I took the word clever and I just sort of put them together. So that's where that came from.
I love it. I love you put those two words together, but now it kind of means something in its own entirely as well, you know?
Right, right.
I love it. But I think you just hit on something important too. You don't need 100 plants in a studio to be a plant person. You know, you just need the joy of having one plant and loving taking care of it and, you know, watching it bloom or grow or, you know, just keep evolving, right?
Yeah, and you know, collecting plants for people, for different people, it means different things. And, you know, for some people, you could be an actual botanist and collect plants for scientific purposes. And, or you could, you know, be, just wanting to use plants as your home decor, or you could, you know, you could have different reasons. You could just want to bring life into your home. And, everyone has a different reason for owning and raising and caring for plants, which I think is really the beauty of houseplants. It doesn't matter why you have them. It doesn't matter which ones you have. It doesn't matter, if you have the rare ones. It doesn't matter if you have the most common plant, but if you love it and it brings you happiness and you think it looks beautiful in that one spot in your home, then that's why you collect them. And that's exactly why plants is an amazing thing to collect. I mean, it does something different for everyone.
So speaking of love of plants, what does your beginning with plants look like? I know you mentioned you've had plants for something like 20 years. Have you always been a green thumb? How did your collection start and come to be?
Yeah, I feel like unfortunately that ages me a little bit more. I love how like so many of these kids are like so young, you know, like in their early 20s, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's wow, I could be their mother. But you know, it started when I moved into my first house on my own. My friend, Billy and I, we literally had no money. I mean, we were just able to barely pay our rent. And I remember one day we had like, I think we had like $7 to our name after we paid rent.
Oh my gosh.
And we went to, our local sort of grocery store and we needed to buy food. I mean, we didn't have any food. And so we go to buy what was supposed to be food. And I think we each got like one of those like crusty burritos out of the like hot right. plate thing that were like a dollar each. So we had $5 left over and we bought a plant. And it was this pregnant onion plant. I don't remember the scientific name off the top of my head, but it just like popped. It's this onion that has all these, you know, this foliage growing out of it. And then it pops up these little baby onions all throughout the soil that you can pull away from the mother plant and then repot. And we just thought that that was the coolest thing ever. And so that's where it started. And then after that, it was like one plant after another, you know, whenever we had a couple bucks to our name. And then I worked at a golf course where they had about like a 30-foot Monstera. I mean, it was huge, absolutely huge. And I didn't know what that plant was at the time. Mm-hmm. I just knew it was just cool, like plant with holes and slits and whatever. And out of the very bottom of the soil was this little tiny leaf was popping up. And I had heard that you could have roots grow from a leaf if you did it the right way and stuff. So I had gone home and back then, I don't want to age myself again, but back then you didn't go online really very much right. to like search things. Mm-hmm. So I went to my local library and I sort of looked up how to propagate plants. And so I bought some root hormone and I plucked that sucker right out of the pot and put some root hormone on it and stuck it in the soil. And it made roots. And I actually ended up having that plant for quite a few years. Unfortunately, had to get rid of it in a move. But aww. That was just really, that was a huge accomplishment for me. I mean, I felt like, okay, I took this thing from like teeny tiny to now this plant, and I did it. You know, it's like,
yes.
It's like you just feel that sense of accomplishment and you're like, cool, I did that. It's sort of like raising kids, you know?
Oh, girl, you're talking my language. I mean, not the raising kids thing, but like there is such, it's such a confidence building kind of exercise.
Yeah. You're like, I didn't kill something. Mm-hmm. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Right. That's so awesome. And also just the process of watching something grow. Like watching the roots grow, or like right now I have a money tree that has two leaves unfolding, like just watching those leaves look different every day is mind blowing. And it kind of just like reminds you of like the basis of life, you know, that they're always growing and we should always be growing too.
Yeah, it's really amazing. So that's kind of where it started. So
that's very cool. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning
that language, there's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. And then, so the blog, so how did the blog come about? One day you just were like, I'm going to try. I mean, was it the, I think maybe the encouragement of people, or how did that come about?
Well, so I've always been sort of a crafty person. Mm-hmm. I've always liked to sew and paint and do all sorts of stuff. So like I said, it had sort of started out as like a DIY blog. But, mm-hmm. You know, I had encouragement from like my mom and a couple people to start it. I had been working my whole life. And then when I had my first son, I decided not to go back to work. And I had been working at World Market for 12 years or so.
Oh, wow.
And so I really got that sort of my style kind of evolved from there. It was sort of like eclectic and worldly. And yeah, and it was sort of like, you know, being in an environment like that for so many years, that's kind of where that came from for me. But so I wanted to sort of recreate easy DIY projects that would sort of fit in the type of style. That's kind of how it started. But like I said, I realized that people didn't like that stuff. They didn't like my stuff. They may like that stuff, but they didn't really like what I was doing. Right. And it was like, you know, it was taking so much time to do stuff like that. So it evolved into a houseplant focused blog. And now everything I do on there is houseplant related. So I have some DIYs, I have some plant care. Obviously, one of my biggest blog posts is one that I had Morgan do for me, which is the how to care for Pilea peperomioides. Mm-hmm. And when you Google search that plant,
it comes up.
Our blog post is the first thing that comes up. Yeah.
I Googled you. I actually Googled that today. That's funny.
Yeah. So I hadn't owned the plant myself for long enough to really give good insight on that. So she wrote that blog post for me. And now it's sort of like one of the go-to blog posts for how to care for it. I've since sort of written a question and answer thing from a lot of questions that I get on a daily basis, right, about how to care for them, or why are the leaves black, or why are they yellowing, or whatever. And so I just sort of, and I'm kind of a lazy blogger, to be honest with you. I do blog posts when I feel like it. Mm. I do keep up with my Instagram daily because that's easy to take a picture.
Right, of course. But
it's harder to write a whole blog post. So I sort of do it when I want to. But I really love it because it's just an outlet for me. I mean, like I said, I worked for so many years, and then to go from working, you know, 40 to 50 hours a week to not working at all. For a while, that was, the blog was, you know, sort of my my job for a while. So
yeah,
I still definitely do that at least once a month. I'll do a new blog post.
And you also have DIY and like care stuff, but you also have cool stuff like how to ship plants, you know, which is like,
yeah,
something random that isn't probably as easy to figure out or find.
Yeah.
So anyone looking to send their plant friend a trimming of something, you can go to Clever Bloom and read her blog about it.
Thank you. Yeah. I think I did that after having a few successful shippings of plants to different states, and actually one outside of the country too. And I was shipping cuttings for a long time for people. And I just sort of wanted people to know how to do it. And I had received some that didn't work out well. So that's why I wanted to sort of share, yeah, the things that worked well, mm-hmm, and sort of steer them away from the things that didn't. So,
speaking of your craftiness and, you know, all of your DIY stuff you do, I'm so excited that you're going to give us a little oral tutorial of mounting plants today.
Yeah, you know, recently I've always loved mounting plants. I started doing it probably about a year ago, and I've now just began teaching classes in my area with my friend Corey, who runs the Potted Elephant. It's a local wholesaler of succulents and tropicals. And, you know, for me, mounting is, the first thing is being able to use plants as sort of like decor, mm-hmm, not just like in a pot, but for wall art or living art or whatever. And for the most part, you can kind of hang them anywhere. I mean, obviously they need proper conditions, but you can really just sort of put them anywhere in your home, and it just brings a little bit of life to a corner that may, you know, that you may not be able to put a table with a potted plant on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm getting to the point now in my small one-bedroom apartment where I have no more floor space. And if I want to continue my plant collection, I'm going to have to start thinking vertically.
Well, yeah, so
I'm excited to learn from you today because I've never mounted plants before. So I'm excited to maybe do a test after we talk.
Yeah, I mean, so that was for me too. It was like, okay, I don't have any more table space. And I had started hanging plants. Another one of my popular blog posts is clever ways to hang your plants. Mm-hmm. And my husband had built this really cool hanging shelf for me. And so I had started hanging. And I have tons of like really cool macrame pieces from people that I had been hanging. So then it was like I had plants to table height. Then I had plants hanging from the ceiling. But then I had this empty space in between. And it was like, okay, what am I going to put here? So
right.
I did go to some classes locally in the area just to sort of get an idea of how things worked. Mm-hmm. And then I did a lot of just sort of research on my own about what types of plants do best in mounted situations. But the second thing about mounting plants that's really cool is just you're mimicking sort of their natural environment. A lot of the plants I use are mostly like epiphytic plants, so they are able to grow on other either plants or the barks of trees and pull what they need, their water and nutrients and stuff from the other plants or just the rainwater or from the like moisture in the air. So for me, it's just super simple. I mean, you want to find a board that you like. You can use bark. You can use cedar board. I use both depending on sort of what look you want. I find a plant. My favorite plant, I think, to mount is like a Ripsalis. Okay. There's tons of different kinds of Ripsalis, and they all kind of have a similar look, but they are all definitely different. And so they do great in mounts. I mean, you can do like ferns and stuff like that. I'm scared of the ferns, man. I'll tell you, like, there's so many layers to those things. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of killing them. So I definitely stick to some of the easier ones. But, you know, it's as simple as, you know, board. You pull the plant out of the pot, you shake a little bit of the dirt off, but you just leave a little bit on. You wrap it in moss, which is, I use river moss, which is actually pulled locally from local rivers. You can use like sphagnum moss or whatever, but I like the river moss because it's the kind of, I like the look of it.
Okay.
So I just take damp river moss and I make sure that the root ball of the plant is all covered. I sort of just lay it different ways on the board to see where I think it's going to fall nicely. And there's no right or wrong way. You can do it upside down. You can do it right side up. You can do it sideways. It's all up to you. It's all up to your style. You can do it however you want. So that's why I love it too, because you can have, I mean, we probably had 20, 25 people at our mounting class last week, and every single one looks so different. Mm. And so it's so cool because it's just everyone's style. And then I just use fishing line. I wrap the plant material that's wrapped in the moss with fishing line mm-hmm. around the board and do it real tight. And it's not going to hurt the roots. And then you're done. I mean, you tie it off and you're done. Care for them is super easy. This time of year for us, especially winter, I probably do a quick dunk, just dunk the whole board in the bath water, not like used bath water, but in the bath.
Okay.
For like 2 or 3 seconds, I pull it out and then I let it sort of drip dry and then I just hang it right back on the wall. And
wow,
that's it.
So you're just dunking the whole board. You're not kind of taking the moss ball kind of off of the board. You're just getting
at it. Just leave it on there. Yeah, you just leave it on there. You dunk the whole board for a few seconds, pull it back out, and then you're good to go. They need bright indirect light, so you don't want direct sunbeams on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they can – and a lot of them, like some of my Hoyas that I've mounted, they're in sort of a shadier spot. And they do really well, but of course, you know, the brighter the light, the better they grow. So,
when you're wrapping the moss initially, okay, a couple follow-up questions. Because also, this is difficult to be explaining it with no pictures.
But I know,
of course, on the blog, Plant People listeners, check the blog out and I'll have some photos that will be easier for you to kind of see and then understand what we're talking about. But, so when I get my plant that comes in the normal nursery pot, I should be shaking off most of the dirt, right? Like, should the roots be mm-hmm. exposed, kind of? Do you know what I mean? Like, should the dirt be off that much?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of times when you pull them out of the pots, you'll get, like, dirt, big dirt clods that'll just come off mm-hmm. right away. And just shake it. Just give it a little shake. And so you're leaving some of the soil on the roots,
okay. But
you don't need much. That's the beauty of these types of plants that we mount is that they don't need that much soil to survive. So
got it. And then the moss, when you're wrapping it around the roots, should you soak it so it's wet?
I do. I mean, I pre-soak the moss. Okay. You don't have to. I have a friend that prefers to do it dry, but I just like to, it makes it easier. It moves easier. Mm-hmm. So, I do, it doesn't matter.
Okay. And then with the twine, so you put the plant on the board where you want it, and then you're wrapping the twine, basically wrapping the twine around the plant all the way around the board?
Yes.
Okay, so you're basically wrapping the plant to the board.
Yes. I've done different mounts. I've done some where I've put nails into the board, mm-hmm. and I sort of weave the fishing line back and forth through, like, around the nails.
Oh, like, and hold it on that way. Kind of?
Yes. Okay. But it's just easier not to. So I think the nails look a little bit cleaner, mm-hmm. but it's easier to not use nails. So it's sort of preference as far as look for you. But you can use nails, or you can just wrap the actual plant
just
with
around the
fishing line, just around the entire board. Yeah, just wrap both things together.
Okay, cool. And then because the board is often getting dunked, should the board be treated so it's waterproofed, or like, do you ever worry about mold or anything like that?
No, because the idea of these plants is that you just dunk it for a second and you want to let it dry out, and then that's all it needs as far as water. Mm-hmm. So I prefer not to use treated boards because I don't know how the plant will do with – I don't know what chemicals they used or whatever.
Whatever those chemicals are. Okay.
Yeah, so I try not to do that. There's like cork bark, which is really cool but really expensive. And that's kind of what they use in, like, aquariums or, like, with lizards or things like that. It's sort of like the bark that they use in things for homes, for lizards, and different things like that. And that's a great thing to use to mount on, but it's pretty expensive.
Okay.
So you can use any sort of bark or cedar board, I prefer. Cedar, I think, dries out faster. On its own. And so I prefer to either use cedar board or just plain old bark.
All right, cool. And you think that any kind of epiphyte is really the way to go?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different plants that you can mount. I mean, I've done a philodendron before. The only problem with that is that you really need to water them pretty frequently.
Right.
I was having to water it every 3 days, and then it just got kind of like annoying for me.
Totally.
And
on the board, right.
I think I didn't let it die on purpose, but I think I wanted to see like how long could it actually go without being watered, and it didn't do so well. So now I prefer to do like Hoyas or Ripsalis, or I've done like a couple air plant ones, but you don't need air plants. You can just sort of mount with wire on a board. You don't really need to do the moss and stuff with that. Yeah.
Okay.
You could do some kind of succulents and stuff if you wanted to, but it's sort of the preference of how often you want to take care of it and the look of it too. So.
Gotcha. And with watering, you're just waiting for it, the moss, you're waiting for it to dry out, and then just, that's when you're dunking, right?
So for a lot of mine, especially the Hoyas, they sort of get a little bit almost, you can feel that they're starting to shrivel a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't let it suffer, but you can tell when it needs water.
Right.
It'll let you know. And so that's when I dunk it. It seems to be right now, it seems to be once every about 8 days, 8 or 9 days in the winter, but they're not getting that much sun right now. So it's probably going to be more like 10, 12 days going into the winter here. So,
well, that is so cool. I'm really excited. And I hope my Bloom and Grow listeners are excited too. And when you decide to do your own mounting project, please tag Erin at Clever Bloom and at Bloom and Grow Radio on Insta so we can see what you guys have been up to.
Yes, would love to.
That's so fun. Well, thank you so much for that tutorial. And just to wrap everything up, my favorite final question is, why should everyone have a houseplant? Besides all the basic, you know, they clean the air, all that basic stuff, why do you think it's so important for people to all be enjoying plants?
You know, like I said before, for me, I think the idea of plants is just cool. Everyone has their own reason for owning them. But I think if everyone tried to have a plant in their home, they would see that it can just really drastically change your environment pretty quickly. They help with low stress levels, and just having something living in your home can just really make you feel different. It can, here, I mean, it rains probably eight, nine months out of the year. And so just having that sort of tropical feeling inside your home when it's pouring rain mm-hmm. outside is just a huge mood lifter. So if anything, I just say, you know, bring a plant into your home and see if it lifts your mood, because for me, that's the biggest thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
A mood booster, so. Especially in these winter months.
Yes.
That's really important. True. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been such a lovely chat.
Thank you.
Thanks again for having a listen today. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Bloom and Grow Radio on iTunes and leave us a review. If you want to follow the Bloom and Grow journey and are interested in more plant tips, give us a follow on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio and visit www.bloomandgrowradio.com to join the email list. And please let me know what you want to hear in the future episodes. I'm here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.